welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of February 10th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and recovering from being sexually abused by Woody Allen, Melissa Hansen.
That's not me. That would be Dylan Farrow. People get us confused all the time.
Oh, did you have much of a week in entertainment?
Watched the Olympic opening ceremonies.
Oh, how did that go? I did not see that.
It didn't blow me out of the water. Like, a few things did.
Okay.
Specifically, there were things I liked and things that were really cool. They did all kinds of stuff with projection.
Ooh.
On the floor. Right. And it was some really cool, beautiful stuff. And I liked it. All the athletes kind of came out the back, you know, and walked up this ramp and then went around the whole thing. But they projected each country on the whole floor when they did that. So it looked like they were kind of coming out of the middle of their country.
Ooh.
Which I thought was neat, especially for Russia. That's all, like, this is all about them.
Right.
Well, not Russia, just, you know, Vlad.
Yeah,
our pal Vlad.
God.
You know,
yeah.
It's all his thing. So that was cool. And like I said, tons of projections are really cool. There was nothing, I don't know.
There's a lot of comparisons being done. I haven't seen it. I DVR'd it because I had a show that night. But there's a lot of comparisons. Because Beijing kind of set the high watermark for opening ceremonies. Everybody, you know, goes back to that gold standard, and it would be disappointing,
right.
You know, otherwise.
And it was very interesting too. They had this beautiful young girl kind of, for most of it, kind of lead us through, and it was a series of dreams. So there was some cool stuff, and then it was kind of the history of Russia, which of course, you know, the history of Russia from their perspective.
Yes, it's very
slightly different.
Yes.
And what you're going to find in, like, American history books, let's say. You know, so there were big sections kind of jumped right over there.
Oh my gosh.
So that was interesting, that take, and what they chose to highlight. And they did this whole like 50s section where they all look like American teenagers,
really?
Like dancing. And I was like, what was that?
Huh.
What Russia was that in? Huh. Or Soviet Union.
Yeah.
So anyhow, no, there was some lovely stuff. There was, you know, they bought it. Like I said, it was definitely not Beijing.
Right.
But, it was very nice opening ceremony, some cool stuff, beautiful. The interesting thing that, you know, everybody was wondering if Vlad's girlfriend was going to light the torch, if he was going to let her light the torch.
Oh,
she didn't light it. She carried it, not in, like, she was kind of the last one, then she gave it to, like, the torchbearers, which were two different former athletes,
right.
Like, involved in the government now and stuff. But what came out right before is I don't know her name, but the female was a figure skater.
Uh-huh.
She had this came out, this horrible, like, racist tweet she did
of
Michelle and President Obama.
Oh, no.
Before. Like, that's really a good pick.
Wow.
Well, I guess we kind of did a big FU to the Russians by, like, Obama not going and sending,
right.
You know, our
gay
athletes to
on
us.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Did Matt Lauer behave himself, or was he just droning on and on and on?
Yeah, we kind of got a drone on and on. All these people we don't care about are walking out. You got to wait for, you know. So anyhow, the best is, so everybody's talking about the Americans had these Christmas sweaters on.
Yeah, the ruffle around stuff.
Are like this knit sweater thing, which has like an Olympic thing, and then it's got the flag and USA and whatever. And most, they're growing on me. I will admit this, actually.
You're not the only one who said that.
It's the first time I saw them.
Yeah.
Most people hate them. It's grown on me. I don't think they're horrible. But then they're knit little hats. And, of course, like, the only person not wearing a hat is Shaun White.
To show off his non-existent hair?
To show off his sleek new haircut.
Yeah, right.
Anyhow.
All right.
See how the games go. Hopefully everybody stays safe.
There haven't been any incidents yet, have there?
No, there was one on the first day. Somebody tried to hijack a plane.
Okay.
Was going and take it there, make them take it there, but it was kind of felt like set at a bomb, and they didn't really, you know, but they got the plane down safely and, like, arrested the person, whenever.
Okay.
So, but one of the bobsledders got locked in his bathroom.
What?
Did you see this? You can go, he posted the picture on Twitter.
Oh, no.
He went to take a shower and the door locked, it jammed,
and
he couldn't get it open, and he didn't have a phone in there or anything, you know?
Oh, no.
So there's a picture. He actually had to tear through the door, which is filled with cardboard. So if you want to see what the inside of the room looks like, you can, just Google it. Just, like, bobsledder door.
Oh, boy. for myself, the BBC was kind enough to send over an advance copy of Sherlock Season 3. Oh. So in the middle of the night for the past three nights, I've watched each of the three episodes.
Jealous. When does that comes out really soon, right?
Tuesday. Yep.
Okay, so yeah, it comes out this week.
Available
so,
this week.
Yeah. And when will it be on Netflix? How long does that usually take?
It depends on the contract because the window is
closed.
I'm going
to watch it
closed.
For free.
Yeah, I know.
I don't have to buy it.
Well, Amazon, you have to pay $5 to see each episode, which is ridiculous.
Right.
And my guess is a lot of the cable companies have it available on demand already since it's already played on PBS. So it should be able to, you know, if you have cable, you should be able to see it on demand for free.
I know.
Anyways.
9%. I don't have cable.
I am very impressed with, I'm continually impressed with Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss.
Because this is what I've seen just in general on the internet.
Yes.
That this season is not up to par.
I completely disagree with that.
So.
The first episode takes the cliffhanger, resolves it in a fantastic way, and propels the characters off in a new direction, which is equally compelling. Second episode was a bit of a letdown for me. I think it went on a little bit too long.
Okay.
So it wasn't, but then the third episode, the final episode of the season, holy mother of God.
See, I'm hearing it's kind of a mess, no? I'm going to take your word over, you know, the internet in quotes, but.
What it does is, it's storytelling in a very different way, which people who are trapped into that logical progression of you need to sit here and watch the story go from point A to point B and explain everything to me along the way are going to hate it because it jumps all over the place in such a fascinating way.
Okay.
I can't tell you how many times I sat there and went, wow. From a writer's perspective and somebody who loves to see the medium being used in a different way, I just can't get over how Stephen crafted this thing. I'm so impressed. And, it tees up the next season, and I'm not going to spoil anything.
It could be a couple years before we see it.
I know. But, hey, I would rather have three fantastic 90-minute episodes and wait a couple years for the next three than have mediocre 13-episode seasons.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and they're busy on Doctor Who right now.
That's why it's gonna be a while before they can get to it, basically. It's not that they don't want to or they don't have ideas or whatever. It's just going to be a while till he can get to it.
The two of them are reinventing the series again because the quotes I keep hearing is so that Christopher Eccleston, you know, David Tennant and Matt Smith were kind of the boyfriend type doctor.
Yes,
this
absolutely.
We're going back to the mad, cranky, unpredictable.
Like the uncle from the Nutcracker.
Yes, right. Yeah. And the pictures that are coming out.
Yeah, it's like Uncle, what was it? Shoot. Drosselmeyer or something?
Yes, Drosselmeyer.
Drosselmeyer, thank you. It's like Clara and Drosselmeyer.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's going to be a very different show. It's going to be a throwback to the days of Patrick Troughton and John Pertwee.
Cool.
And I'm very much looking forward to that. And that comes the end of this year into next year. So.
Okay, cool.
And there won't be a break. They're not going to do two halves. They're just going to do one.
But that always messes me up.
Season.
Yeah. I'm in the middle of watching Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And I thought there were 8 episodes in the 5th season.
Yeah.
Well, no, there's 16 because the 5th season was actually 2 sections of 8 or something. Like, I thought I have like 3 episodes left. And then I realized, like, I went and looked it up and I'm like, oh, no.
Huh.
Hey, scary. Just call it a different season.
Yeah.
I know. Okay.
Anyways, moving on. Box office this past week. Nobody went and spent any money at the box office last week. Everybody went and spent money this week.
Right. Because the number one movie had almost $70 million.
Holy crap.
And it was the Lego Movie.
And they've already greenlit a sequel.
Okay. But here's the thing. Everyone I know, they're like half my Facebook friends, I think, went and saw it.
Yep.
With or without kids.
Yep.
And I have heard nothing but rave reviews. Not just like, yeah, it was good. Like, it was awesome. Like, really, it's an animated about, like, little plastic blocks we used to play with when we were 4 years old.
Now, here's the
thing. Somehow they put it together, and it's just movie magic, I guess.
So this is spinning out of the Lego video games.
Yeah.
Which have been
Which
phenomenal.
Is bizarre to me.
Yeah.
That idea, like, Lego Indiana Jones video game. Like, what?
It's so...
I can't wrap my head around it.
So smart, so funny. I've played almost every iteration of the... I think I have played every iteration of the Lego games that have come to PS3 so far. Anyways, it's a huge brand. And they've been doing many movies direct to DVD.
Oh, have they?
Yes. So they've been taking, you know, these cut scenes, which are the animation in between the action of the video
game. From the video game. I got it.
Yep. And been doing these little things. The Star Wars one I hated. There was one that they did for Batman that was okay. And the latest one they did for Marvel I found actually pretty funny.
Okay.
So the next big progression was the feature film. And obviously they've hit a home run.
Yeah, I'm going to have to see it eventually. I'll probably wait for DVD. But because I just don't get the whole concept. But I don't know. I'm going with y'all. It must be great.
All right.
So, so let's finish this up. This is going to be our longest podcast.
I know.
Number two, The Monuments Men with $23 million. Ride Along with just over $9 million. Frozen, almost $7 million. That Awkward Moment, $5.5 million. So that's it. That's the box office rundown.
Well, the other new movie that came out this past week was Vampire Academy that we were all bemoaning last week, and it only made $4 million. So perhaps this is the signal to the end of Hollywood's infatuation with paranormal teen romance.
Oh, please let that be true. It's not. But please let it be.
This week, we have a Wednesday release, which is bizarre, although I guess because some of the kids have winter break or because of the President's Day holiday or something, they figured they're going to do it.
Yeah.
RoboCop, the remake, is coming out on Wednesday.
I'm kind of psyched. I kind of love Joel Kinnaman. He's on The Killing, the American version of The Killing.
Yeah.
And I kind of am infatuated with him.
All right. Michael
Keaton. Plus, you can't see him, right, for, like, most of the movie.
Yep.
Like, it's all the costume thing,
right.
But...
Yeah, that was Peter Weller, too, in the original.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So, maybe I'm not that thrilled. Never mind.
Well, I saw the original in the theater. I love, you know, the second one was okay. The third one kind of... Again, I don't see the need to reboot everything. Doesn't really need to
I
reboot.
Agree, right. So.
Michael Keaton gets to play the bad guy here, which doesn't happen very often.
No,
so,
that's
That should be interesting. On Friday, we have four movies opening up. Endless Love with Alex Pettifer from Magic Mike and Gabriella Wilde. Winter's Tale, which is Akiva Goldsman's fantasy romance with Colin Farrell and Jennifer Connelly. It has to do with reincarnation. It's kind of like The Fountain in a way.
Okay.
Adult World, which is a romantic comedy with John Cusack and Emma Roberts set in an adult bookstore.
Nice.
And
so wait, like the X-rated version of Fidelity?
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
And then you're gonna love this, About Last Night.
Oh, is that finally coming out? They filmed this like a couple of years ago.
Yes, it's the urban contemporary remake of David.
Yeah, you used the right term. Good for you.
Starring Kevin Hart.
Yeah. So yeah, no, it's gonna suck anyhow. Just because you can't do what they did with it. This is one of my favorite movies, the original one.
Yeah.
With Rob Lowe and Demi Moore and Belushi.
Yep.
Oh, it's crazy. Yep. Go rent that.
Yep. All right.
All right. Anyhow.
Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we already mentioned Sherlock Season 3, Ender's Game with Harrison Ford and Butterfield. I forget what his first name is. The kid. Very talented. Disney's Jungle Book is coming to Blu-ray this week. It comes out of the Disney vaults. They did a special edition DVD, which we covered years ago, like 2006, 2007, and now the Blu-ray is coming out. Best Man Holiday, and then Robert Redford's, I think he's the only person in this film, All Is Lost, which didn't do very well on the awards circuit nor in the box office, but I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Okay.
Over at Redbox, you've got Arnold and Stallone in Escape Plan. You've got Timberlake and Affleck and Runner Runner. We've got Ron Howard's Rush, and then Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine.
Okay.
At Netflix, Bryan Singer's Usual Suspects. Harrison Ford as Jack Ryan in Patriot Games. Donald Sutherland and Elliot Gould in Robert Altman's original MASH, which was the film version before the TV series.
So good.
And then the Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding story called The Price of Gold, which is a documentary part of ESPN's 30 for 30 series.
Okay, so then I have faith in it, but otherwise, okay, no, just my little snort, like, at it.
A Lifetime original movie type, yeah.
Yeah, no, 30 for 30, we're good, never mind.
Yeah. Over at Hulu, we've got Philip Seymour Hoffman's film Jack Goes Boating, A Slice of Russian Life in the documentary Putin's Kiss, all very timely stuff here. Mm-hmm. One Man's Quest to Join Cirque du Soleil in Catching Dreams, and then the supermodel comedy Drop Dead Gorgeous, and that's all I've got for physical and streaming media this week.
Okay. Well, this week NBC basically just has the Olympics,
yeah,
you know, primetime, and next week and still. But Tuesday, it's the Dad's finale on Fox.
The what?
Already. And then it is the, ready for this, 138th Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and that'll be on USA. And then Friday for Valentine's Day, we got two specials for you. On ABC, they're going to do Be My Valentine, Charlie Brown. I'll be on, and then on FX, which I don't even know that station, but Jenny McCarthy's Dirty, Sexy, Funny.
Oh, no.
It's all like sex talk comedian stuff, whatever. So ABC is continuing its counter programming on weekend evenings. Saturday is showing Dreamgirls, the remake one.
Okay.
With Beyonce. And then Sunday, ABC is showing Up.
Oh,
there's Up.
Great,
such
movie.
A beautiful, sweet, loving, yes, girl movie. Sunday night, we also have the BAFTA Awards on BBC America.
Oh, yeah.
And then the NBA All-Star Game on TNT.
What a combination.
Yeah. So, music this week, Eric Church, who's a country artist. He has a new one called The Outsiders. And Neil Finn has a solo album called Dizzy Heights. You may not recognize his name, but he was in Crowded House.
Oh.
It's Crowded House. Yeah. So that's him. So 80s music fans may want to pick that one up anyhow. And then, man, soundtrack and Broadway and whatever. The Lego movie soundtrack is out.
Yep.
And then also Broadway cast recording of Big Fish.
Oh.
And A Night with Janis Joplin. So it's not Janis Joplin. It's a recording of the Broadway show.
Nice.
So her music, but other people singing it.
Yes.
Books this week, James Patterson and Mark Sullivan with Private L.A. And then if you are a fan of, like, Patterson's Cross series, I highly recommend Alex Delaware series. And the 29th is out. It's called Killer, and that's by Jonathan Kellerman. So he's probably my favorite author. So I totally recommend his Alex Delaware stuff. Inside Divergent, The Initiate's World by Cecilia Bernard. So Divergent series of books, which is the movie's coming out.
Yes, yes, yes.
This spring. It's another dystopian
teen
kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's Hunger Games talk. Kind of. Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's out. And that's just like background kind of info about the movie and stuff.
All right.
Few cookbooks. Kelsey Nixon, she's on like the Food Channel, Cooking Channel stuff.
Yeah.
Kitchen Confidence, essential recipes and tips that will help you cook anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mayim's Vegan Table, more than 100 great tasting and healthy recipes from my family to yours. That's Mayim Bialik. So with all her granola crunching kind of ways.
Breastfeeding her 12-year-old children. Kind
that of. Is not true. No, she didn't get in trouble for breastfeeding. She got in trouble for family bed.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Come on. Get it right. Anyhow, and all you Housewife fans, Brandy Glanville has a book called Drinking and Dating. P.S. Social media is ruining romance. All right, whatever.
Great. Put your flag in the ground for that one.
Yeah. Okay, then. Anyhow, Broadway.
Yes.
Tickets are now on sale for The Realistic Joneses.
Okay.
Which previews begin March 13th. It opens April 6th.
Yeah.
And stars someone we've talked about before, Tracy Letts, who wrote August Osage County, we've been talking about, but he's actually acting in this.
Yep.
Tracy Letts, Michael C. Hall,
ooh,
Toni Collette, and Marissa Tomei.
Holy crap.
Damn. So, wow. Yeah, you like your famous, you know, movie stars on stage?
Yeah.
There you go, people. That's at the Lyceum Theater.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
all right, let's go to depressing stuff.
All right, let me tie in one more Broadway note
okay,
that just
great.
Came out. The Oprah may be making her Broadway debut in George C. Wolfe's revival of Marcia Norman's Nightmother opposite Audra McDonald.
Shut the front. Who did that movie? It was Sissy Spacek, right?
I don't remember.
The movie, it was Sissy Spacek.
I don't remember.
Wow.
And the producer on that is Scott Sanders, who also is working with her on a streamlined revival of The Color Purple.
Cool.
So
right.
The Oprah is keeping busy. Okay, so where do we start with this? When we finished recording, like literally a couple of hours after we finished recording,
yeah, it was right
show,
after.
We got news of the death of Philip Seymour Hoffman. of a heroin overdose.
It allegedly, or it seems like, I mean, it really seems like.
Yeah, I mean, all the evidence is pointing that direction now. In fact, they've arrested people who were involved in getting him the drugs in the first place. He was only 46. He lives behind three kids. He leaves behind three young children.
Yeah, was it like 10 or something?
Yeah, like 10, 8, and 6 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Somewhere in there.
Just a terrible story. I mean, incredibly talented man. And again, it speaks to artists who get into these patterns with addiction, and it's not unusual.
And it's something that always comes back, because he had been clean forever.
Okay.
It seems like, until however long ago. I mean, a little while ago, but yeah. And it seems like, yeah, now all the stories are coming out, like the kind of downward spiral that was obvious. Yeah. Yeah. But amazing, amazing actor.
Yeah. We had, We went to see Josh Brolin do a Q&A.
Yeah, it's Michael's a member of Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
And in LA, they do this amazing thing for their members. They have like huge movie stars and TV stars and just great actors, but also famous actors that come and sit down. And there's maybe like 100 people in the audience, maybe 50 at some of them, but like at the most, like 100 people. And they interview them and they answer questions and they do this talk. Yeah. And I was lucky enough when I was in LA visiting and stuff to go to some of these. I tagged along with Michael, and one was Josh Brolin after he, you know, huge comeback on that. And he told this lovely little story about when he was acting out east, like not on Broadway.
Yeah.
You want me to keep going?
Yes, please.
Okay. And there was this, you know, nice older lady who came to the performance a few times, and he chatted with her after, and she kept talking about her son, Phil. My son, Phil's going to be an actor, and he's so good, and he's so wonderful, and he's going to be famous, and he's such a great actor. And Josh Brolin would be like, oh, huh, sure he is. Because how many moms think that of their kids? And how many people think they're going to be famous actors? And even if they're great talents, it's not going to happen. So anyhow, she would go on about her son, Phil, and he'd be like, yeah, all right, okay. Kind of pat her on the back and walk away.
Yeah.
Well, later he found out that her son was Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he will be missed. He was a force in the independent film community, especially from a producing standpoint, from a powerhouse acting standpoint. So that's a role, some mighty big shoes that need to be filled there.
Yeah.
Things continue to get stranger. You went to the Shia LaBeouf thing. You want to tackle that one as well?
Oh, crazy Shia?
Yeah,
keep going. So Shia LaBeouf is crazy.
Yeah.
Whatever. And still, like, can't say anything original. He is in Berlin at the film festival there. And they were premiering Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac.
Yes.
Which is also, who is it, Jennifer Connelly?
Yes.
I think Christian Slater. And so they had like a panel kind of talk with all the actors, and somebody finally asked Shia a question. And so instead of like answering the question, he said a quote from some soccer player and then like left.
Jeez.
Like bizarre. And the rest of the cast is sitting there, and he showed up like kind of dirty and disheveled and just yuck looking.
Yeah.
And then they had the actual premiere, and he shows up, like in a tux, looking really nice, except he had a paper bag over his head on which, like, eye holes cut out, and he'd written, like, I am not famous anymore on it.
Oh, my God.
And, oh, the other thing, the press conference, people are noticing, like, he's missing one of his teeth.
Yeah.
And I guess, supposedly, he shaved it down for, like, a previous movie role.
Oh, my God.
What? I mean, there's one thing of being committed to your roles and your craft, but...
Well, right. I hope, now that Steven Spielberg is still considering another Indiana Jones film, that he does not come back. That they will not even attempt to, you know, maybe we can just retcon the fact that he has a son or set it in a different time period or something. Where,
whatever.
I don't know. we talked about the Woody Allen story last week.
Mm-hmm.
The next salvo in that, it was the New York Times posted.
I can't remember
from him. I think it was New York Times.
Yeah, it was in response.
Yes,
his daughter's
to rebut.
Right, new accusations.
Yep. And, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there's this one of the writers for Vanity Fair wrote an article years ago. It was one of the first big things about this.
Yeah.
When it came out.
This was 21 years ago the story started.
Yeah. So this was the beginning of it. And the author of that has all of his claims said bullshit and has all the legal facts spelled out in a new thing. So it's on Vanity Fair. And like things he's saying is complete crap. And like this writer has like the legal records to show it.
Wow. I don't know. The whole thing makes me uncomfortable. Again, I mentioned it last week. I'm not – the court of public opinion is a very scary place. These things should not be played out this way.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And it's not – he's not going to be prosecuted for this. This is just – whatever. And you can – and share your story and your side and whatever. And it's just – it's blowing up right now and it's going to fade away and,
but it
you
is,
know,
it
whatever.
Is a, it's a very weird thing because, you know, Mia Farrow did have relationships with older gentlemen when she was younger, and the irony of some of this is not lost on people.
Okay, right. It wasn't her non-legal, but still basically father, though. This is his whole thing with Soon Yi, as like, well, Mia dated somebody older.
Yeah.
Why can't, you know, I date somebody younger? Because you raised her. You do not get this, dude. But anyhow, what you were saying in the court of public opinion, one of my favorite comedians and writers, Sarah Benincasa, just tweeted, earlier today I saw it, quote, please tell me in great detail about your personal feelings on Woody Allen and Dylan Farrell. Everyone who isn't Woody Allen or Dylan Farrell.
Yeah, it needs to stop.
You know, news stories, and they can each say whatever they want to say and stuff, but, and yeah, people can make their opinions.
Right.
When you read stuff, go for it. But we don't need to discuss them and all their personal lives.
All right. Do you want to discuss one more before we close the book on that then? And Justin Bieber is the person I'm referring to?
Ugh. So, okay. So we know, so he got arrested for drag racing. And then this story came out, he was going really slow when they arrested him. Right? But now it's come out. This is all on TMZ. They have, you know, all the official stuff because they went and contacted the car rental place that has like, yes, and you know.
Yeah.
So earlier, before he went clubbing, he was going like 136 miles per hour. So this may, where what they may have done is caught him, let him go to the club.
Yeah.
Hoping he would do substances.
All right.
And then when he left the club, they arrested him for the earlier drag racing, like whatever hours before, because they were hoping he'd be drunk and whatever. The other thing is, so those charges may still hold something.
Yeah.
the FAA is investigating Bieber now.
For what?
Because, so he had to, so from Miami, he like went on vacation, and then he had to go back up to Canada to answer criminal charges. Because he hit like a bodyguard or driver. Was that the driver? I don't know. He just, okay, so he just settled with a former bodyguard.
All right.
I think it was a limo driver. He wanted the limo driver to turn the music up. The limo driver wouldn't turn it up loud enough. So Bieber hit him. So he had to go to Canada to face those criminal charges. But then he wanted to go to the Super Bowl. So he had to fly down. Well, he spent the entire day being investigated because he's now on like, not a no-fly list, but like a whatever list, because he's, you know, charged with felonies.
All right. Yes.
And he's not American. So when he flies into this country, he's going to be brought out and questioned and investigated.
All right.
Well, coming off that, the FAA is investigating him now because on that flight to New Jersey or wherever they actually landed, in his private plane, they were smoking so much pot that the pilots were being affected and told them to stop. And they were harassing the pilots and the flight attendant.
Oh, jeez.
So now FAA is investigating Justin Bieber and whoever else was on the plane for whatever it technically is, but like harassing the pilot, bothering the pilots.
Wow.
While they were flying the damn plane. All right.
All right. Let's just a few actual entertainment notes. I mean.
Oh, real entertainment?
Yeah, real entertainment.
Okay.
Master of Disaster Roland Emmerich is ramping up a sequel to the 1996 blockbuster Independence Day, but his breakout star from that movie, Will Smith, will not be on board. He's decided not to do it, although the rumor is that Michael B. Jordan, who is going to really catapult himself with, as if Fruitvale Station wasn't enough, Captain America Winter Soldier, he's playing Falcon.
Nice.
And that's going to be a big thing for him. But the rumor is that he will take center stage in this movie as the grown-up version of Vivica Fox's son, Dylan.
Okay.
Genius stroke of casting on the part of Joss Whedon. Paul Bettany, who has played the voice of Tony Stark's artificial intelligence, Jarvis, is going to be playing the android Avenger, the Vision, in the Avengers Age of Ultron film.
Okay.
Smart. I mean, Paul's got the personality. He's got the body type and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't really know that character. He can do no wrong, so.
The funny thing is they're not sticking to the main storyline in terms of who the Vision is. He winds up becoming the husband of the Scarlet Witch, who is going to be played by Elizabeth Olsen, if they keep moving in that direction with that story.
You confuse me with all those.
I'm sorry. But
excuse me every week with the superhero movies.
They're starting. What they're
too
doing
many it, characters.
He is going to be the robot right hand to Ultron, who is the evil robot in the film.
Sure. Even though I don't want to enjoy it, but I don't get it.
He's going to turn and become a good guy is what the basic thing is.
Excellent.
He's going to be recruited by the Avengers.
Good guys.
All right. Johnny Depp, who is still bruised from his Lone Ranger beating, and the Razzie Awards gave him all sorts of nominations.
Yep.
But he may have found a new franchise for himself.
Ooh, what?
David Koepp is adapting Arthur Kirill Bonfiglioli.
Sure.
The character's name is Charlie Mordecai. And there were only four novels that he wrote before he passed away. In fact, three and a half, and then somebody else finished it, the fourth one. But this is a Bertie Wooster-type character.
Love it!
He's an eccentric art dealer. So some people are saying it's kind of Inspector Clouseau meets Indiana Jones.
Nice.
The first film is in production as we speak.
He can do both. Yeah, we know he can do wacko Benny and June comedy. Oh, love it.
Yeah. Okay. So David Koepp is writing and directing. And there is not a release date yet, but it is in the works. And I'll do one more. Some people need to learn to keep their mouth shut.
Excellent.
80s teen heartthrob turned Christian values activist and filmmaker Kirk Cameron.
Yes.
Took to Facebook after the Grammys group wedding sequence saying, "How'd you like that all-out assault on the traditional family? The lines were drawn thick and dark. Now more than ever, we must work together to create the world where we want for our children."
Right. And what was the rest of that? That was touting his new movie.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But that post quickly disappeared.
Yes.
And I don't mean to start a religious thing here, but I always find this fascinating for people who profess
Because it's not religious, too.
I know, but people...
Their viewpoint has nothing to do with religion.
And it's not... If you're touting Christian values, then live what the Christian values are. You're supposed to be open and welcoming to everybody and treat everybody the same and turn the other cheek and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
It's just so ridiculous to promote any type of negativity under the Christian flag. It irks me.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's not what's actually in the Bible. People who stand up there with it.
Yeah.
And show me where any of that's in the Bible. It's not. You're basing things on one line that is in the same section saying we can't eat shellfish or touch pig skin.
Right, exactly. And it's still,
So if Kirk Cameron has ever played football or eaten a shrimp, then he needs to shut up.
All right, go ahead. Do your Kardashian.
Okay, I got so many Kardashian ones, but I'll just go really quick. I'll just pick one.
Yep.
So Little Za, we're going to go back to Bieber here. He's Bieber's buddy. Not the drag racing one. The one who lives with him and got busted for drugs when Justin Bieber's house, when the feds or whatever, the police went and searched it due to him damaging his neighbor's house, all that. Little Za got arrested for drugs. He was the one that actually had the drugs. So he got felony charged for that. And then he was vandalizing. He got so angry, he vandalized and busted a phone in jail. So they charged him with another felony. So guess who was just tweeting pictures, hanging out with him in Justin Bieber's house?
Who?
Kylie Jenner.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Smart girl there.
Yep.
Yeah. Her life isn't crazy enough. Let's hang out with, a soon-to-be felon.
All right.
Brilliant. All right.
All right. Do we have a contest this week?
We do. It's called The Booker. It's a documentary. It's kind of interesting. Steve Scarborough he decided to do like a new wrestling, what would you call it? Group franchise?
Yeah, like WWE.
Championship Wrestling.
All right.
And this was actually shot over like 4 years of him taking his wrestling school into like a full-fledged wrestling show.
Oh, okay.
So like people are into wrestling, but just it sounds interesting too. So all right. Anyhow, that is our contest.
Great. As always, thank you guys for tuning in. That'll do it for us this week. We appreciate you reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com. We appreciate you listening to our podcast at DVDverdictPresents.com and checking out the entertainment news at DailyVerdict.com. So until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
I closed my eyes. I heard her whisper, goodbye.